The Warner Brothers logo is shown over a background of clouds in a blue sky, a Time Warner Entertainment company. Monday. The image of a lowercase e spins on a computer screen. A young girl at the computer opens an email and reads it.
From Arthur Klein to Tom Sanders. Product name Archimat CD-ROM. Tom, considering the merger, I thought you should get this at home. Archimat's production lines running at 29% despite all efforts. Spot checks under... Speaking of the merger, are you rich and famous yet? Congratulations in advance on your promotion, Arthur.
The screen reads, spooling to printer.
Dad, you got an email.
I'm not being paid to be a lawyer. Well, I think there's a difference.
No more computer games, man. It's time for school. Eliza, where are you?
Got an email, Dad.
Tom, Matt's got toothpaste all over it.
Matt.
You can't take care of it and get the kids ready for school. Don't say you'll take care of it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. Eliza needs a jacket.
I know she needs a jacket. Eliza!
Jacket doesn't go, Dad.
Matt, put on a sweatshirt.
That's for girls who want a sweatshirt.
Since when? Eliza!
Dad, leave me alone.
Disclosure.
Eliza, I am the father. When the father says, put your jacket on, you put your jacket on.
Ariel doesn't have a father. She has two mothers.
It's interesting.
He's sitting in the Hotel Creon with his secretary patched in from New York while I'm brushing the Cheerios out of my file folders.
Why is it?
Insanity.
Put your jacket on.
No.
Lies, put this on screen.
No!
You can take it off when you get to school. Come on.
I say listen to your mom, you listen to your mom.
Matt, you pee?
Yes.
You know, I don't understand why you said you can help me out on a day like today with your promotion.
What's Dad wearing around his neck?
You know what this is, pal? This is a tie.
Daddy's getting a promotion.
Dad, you got an email.
Thanks, honey. Come on, let's go, guys. We're late.
Matt and Eliza run out of the house, followed by Tom and his wife.
Oh, did you call your friend about those Disneyland tickets?
Oh, Tom, is everything I got to do today?
Call it. Everyone has a connection.
Who are they for again?
Mohammed Jafar. He's former of the Malaysian plant. I promised.
The one person I know who sucks up to the people below you.
They get into an SUV.
Matt, please look good to see you.
Was that on your tie?
Toothpaste, but don't worry about it. Let's go.
The one day you wear a tie, it shouldn't look like a bib.
Well.
Susan is driving as they pull away from the house. They're on a tree-lined road that winds along Seattle's Elliott Bay. The Space Needle is across the bay. Tom presses buttons on his cell phone and the display reads, Chang Cindy.
Hey, Cindy, what's up? Garvin came by the office this morning?
His wife looks at him.
What, about the promotion? Matt, will you stop that?
Stop.
I'm surprised I was late today. What does that mean? I mean, say it in passing, if you say it like he really meant it.
Shortly after, Tom is off the phone as they continue down the road.
I wonder why Garvin's coming by the office at 8 o'clock in the morning.
To congratulate you.
It's not like him. He treats everybody like dirt. Except
the top guys.
Tom gently rubs her cheek.
Yeah. Top guys.
They pull away from a school.
You know, this merger with Conley White goes through. And they spin off our division. We're going to be rich, Susan.
We're already rich, if you ask me.
No, I mean really rich.
You know, my grandmother used to have this expression. Don't climb up there too close to God. You might shake the tree.
Tom nods. Susan pulls over and Tom kisses her. He gets out of the SUV and starts to run.
Tom! Thanks for this morning.
He runs back to her, kisses her again, then runs.
Go! 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 Go!
He runs to a ferry just before it pulls away. On the ferry, his cell phone display reads, Larson, Eddie.
Smaller, faster, cheaper, better.
Yeah.
Remember the first ones, the way you lugged it around?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Eddie, it's Tom. Cindy said you called.
wheelchair I can hang on.
Tom turns to a man next to him.
How's the job search going?
28 years with IBM. Did I ever tell you what they told me? I was surplused. You ever hear that word?
The hell's going on down there, Eddie? What? Oh, that's crazy.
They wanted a euphemism. They should have said sodomized.
They're not going to sell the Austin plant. That's just a rumor. It's a rumor floating around. You know, times like this, it's...
You don't see it coming. You're just going right along, and then one day there's no room. Boom. No more room for you. Smaller, faster, cheaper, better.
I don't want to mention any names. I'm on a cellular, okay? No names. I'm just telling you it's not true. It's a rumor.
I was making $150 a year. Big money. Boom. It's probably what you make, huh? $150?
Eddie, hang on just one sec here. Why don't you call Cindy, make an appointment. I'll see if I can help out, all right?
Thanks.
Tom gives him a card.
Eddie, they are not going to sell Austin, all right? I mean, I'm telling you they're not going to sell. If I'm telling you, who else are you going to believe?
Cindy. Pretty name. You used to have fun with the girls. Nowadays, she probably wants your job.
Smoke rises from one of the many tall Seattle buildings. People are getting off the ferry. An office building has an arched entry. Tom crosses a street carrying a knapsack and checks his watch as he walks into the building. A woman wearing a skirt and heels walks up a set of stairs, and Tom turns to look as she goes by. He stops, watches her from behind, smiles, then climbs the stairs. The office has an open floor plan with exposed brick, a high ceiling, and glass walls to separate the offices.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did Garvin say? Does he want me to come up?
He didn't say. He growled.
Yeah. He was flirting. Did you get hold of Arthur?
He's standing by on the DVL. The lunch with Connie White people got pushed up to noon.
Connie White? Oh, yeah, those sandwiches, you know, with the crust cut off? They've all had their jaws wired shut at the same prep school.
The merger's still going through, isn't it?
He looks at her.
Why, you heard something?
No. Just, I... What's that on your tie?
He buttons his sport coat.
Garvin didn't say anything about my promotion.
I thought you were coming in early today.
Well, I guess the people from Father of the Year haven't called yet, huh?
No.
That's a joke, Sin.
Oh.
5 seconds. 2. Malaysian.
Do you want me to close your door?
Have I ever asked you to close my door?
Never.
Cindy walks out.
Malaysian. Video. Link up.
A face appears on a screen.
Tom! You look, frighteningly awake.
What's wrong with Archimax, Arthur?
The drives are just very slow. We're getting seek times in the 140, 160 range.
140 isn't a sexy CD player anymore. 140 is what everyone else has got.
My guys think there's a compatibility problem between the controller chip and the driver's software.
Well, if it's the chip, that's going to put us back a year.
And then there's this flicker in the screen, the current cuts in and out. I think it's a design problem.
The hell you mean a design problem? Every laptop in the world's got the same design.
I sent you out some drives. DHL, you should get them by the end of the day.
This is bad, Arthur. How could this happen?
Well, you going to bury it till after the merger?
Well, don't you say anything, all right? Does anyone else know about this?
I'm a grave. What, are you kidding, Tom? Look, Tom, I still think, really, that Archimax will be a major, major hit.
I'll talk to you when I see the drives.
Hey, Tom, did you get the macadamia nuts I sent you?
Good night, Arthur.
They are so good. I don't know what it
is. He's off the phone. I gotta go.
Cindy walks up to Tom.
Do you know Meredith Johnson?
Meredith? Yeah, years ago.
She wanted to see you. She's up from the valley for the lunch.
Geez, the entire company invited up for this lunch?
I heard Garvin brought the operations group up here with him.
Meredith is in operations?
What should I tell her? Bad day, in-laws in town, take a rain check?
I'm going to go see Lou and the keypad stick in the 900s and get that worried look off your face. If there was bad news, Garvin would have sent Phil Blackburn.
He pats her behind with a file folder. He walks away and goes down a set of stairs.
Hey, Phil. You're not coming to see me, are you?
No. Why?
Oh, no, nothing. How are you?
Jeez, how are you, Tom? You look all beat up.
I do?
You're letting it get to you. Don't. It's pure Garvin. You can't take it personally.
Take what personally?
Look, maybe it's just a rumor.
What's a rumor?
I don't want to be spreading rumors. That's how these things get started.
We're talking about Austin?
Who said something about Austin?
What am I missing, Phil?
I can't believe he didn't tell you. He's so perverse.
He didn't tell me what?
The elevator doors open.
So, how's Susan?
They get inside.
Susan's good, Phil.
Yeah.
How's Lonnie?
Great.
Two other men are in the elevator.
Do you know she got tenure?
Well, that's great.
That's great. Yeah.
The door's open.
Well, here's my stuff.
They get off the elevator and walk together.
I tried to explain to Garvin. And You know what he's like. He's like a child. Take away your feelings if they get in the way of his big surprise.
What surprise?
The rumor is you're getting passed over.
So I'm not getting a VP job.
That's a rumor. That's all I can tell you.
Tell me it's a rumor, Phil. Rumors are always true.
Garvin hasn't said anything to you?
He came by the office this morning. I was late. Susan had a conference.
You were late today?
Phil Blackburn, what brings you up to Seattle?
Good to see you again.
Nice to see you, Mr. Blackburn.
A man and a woman pass by, then Phil looks around a corner.
If somebody tells Garvin I was talking to you, you know how he is about leaks.
Now it's a leak. I thought it was a rumor.
It was different when we were all down in the valley together, Tom. I could watch your back.
So who's getting the job, Stephanie Kaplan?
Rumor is he's going outside the group. You'd still head up manufacturing, presumably.
Tom stares at him.
Wait a minute. I might be out of a job.
Don't get paranoid all of a sudden.
I'm a quick learner.
You wouldn't make somebody VP and then take away their power to appoint their own team. How would that look?
Phil, am I out of a job?
Come on, Tom. I'm already out on a limb.
Tom nods and starts to walk away.
You gonna be okay? You want a Prozac?
No, I'm fine. I'm disappointed. I'm fine.
They're on a balcony, and Tom stops and looks out over the railing. Phil looks at him.
You sure?
Yeah, you know, not to worry about me. I'm a stockholder, whatever's best for the company.
Phil walks away. Later, Tom presses buttons on the phone at his desk. As he looks through the glass walls of his office to a lower level, he can see people working in cubicles and others behind another glass wall.
Hi, if you want to leave a message for Susan, Tom, Matt, and Eliza, please do after the beep. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Phil is filing his fingernails in his office as he talks into a speakerphone.
Obviously, he's disappointed.
But he took it well.
Overall, I'd say yes.
I don't want any bumps before this merger is announced Friday. I don't want him quitting. It's up to you, Phil. Mm-hmm. Just one big, happy family.
All right, Phil, you got that?
I have to tell you, going down to see him this morning was a masterstroke. It really put him on the defensive.
I'll just have to keep an eye on
him. Well, he'd get on the program. When push comes to shove, he doesn't have the guts.
Tom climbs a set of stairs and passes other employees as he walks by a large window. A display reads Digicom Corporation. Tom Sanders here. I'll be right there. Garvin steps out of an office with two other men.
Hey, there's a guy you should meet. Tom Sanders. He heads up our manufacturing. Stephen Chase with Crescent Capital.
Hello.
John Connolly.
You John Connolly?
Junior. Dad's coming out on Friday with members of the board. Catch you at the lunch.
What? Tom, come on in.
Chase and Connolly leave.
You wanted to see me about something.
Yeah, I was sorry about this morning. You know how it is with the kids.
Yeah. Have you ever met Meredith Johnson, Tom?
Meredith? Hi.
What's the matter, Sanders? That's a hello you give to a rash.
I'm just a little preoccupied. It has nothing to do with you.
Sanders and I go way back. He broke my heart.
She's making that up.
I thought your heart was made out of that plastic they use for football helmets.
Sanders used to tell me I could be anything I wanted.
Well, he got that right.
It was a line, Bob.
It wasn't a line.
I had no idea you two knew each other.
What's that line of Wilde's? I like a man with a future and a woman with a past.
Somebody said you were in operations.
Meredith grins.
I don't know. Bob, am I in operations?
Garvin holds a finger to his lips.
I know the last few years I've been trying to clean up the mess that Bob's made of this company.
If it's such a mess, how come I'm so rich?
Yes, but you're a lot richer now.
Well, maybe we should catch up, get together.
I'd love that.
Plenty of time for that now. I remember flying over Wyoming. I thought this merger was dead. Connolly was choking on the valuation. The spinoff was Meredith's idea.
Oh, don't say that too loud. Connolly thinks it was their idea.
Really?
Lit him up like a Christmas tree. Meredith saved the merger.
You have a little money now, Tom. You can even buy yourself a new tie.
Garvin looks at his tie.
So, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Later, Tom slams a folder on a table.
Meredith Johnson, son of a bitch! Damn, Garvin.
What happened?
I didn't get it.
What?
You're not the new VP?
Nope. He announced it.
With some kind of secret. Meanwhile, he's got her installed up there in the office. They're bouncing back and forth like it's a Tonight Show.
Who?
Meredith Johnson.
Who's Meredith Johnson?
This isn't going to affect the spinoff.
This is a technical division. She doesn't know the difference between a software and a cashmere sweater.
Hey, come on now. What aren't you telling us?
Hey, I might be out of a job, Lou, and how about that? Is that enough? You know what it's like out there?
He did say something about the spinoff.
They didn't tell me about me. You think they're going to tell me about the damn spinoff?
Tom is with Lewin, a blonde-haired man and a woman.
This is the worst day of my life, all right?
Well, who is she?
Hey, let me guess. She's attractive.
What does that have to do with anything?
Great rack, mesmerizing orbs.
She's attractive, yes. She's very attractive.
You think she's sleeping with Garvin?
That's why he bought the Nordic track.
You know, it's a curse to be me. Life holds no surprises.
This is such a cliche.
Oh, come on, Hunter. How do you think a cliche becomes a cliche?
You mean, like, size doesn't matter?
I have such a thing for you, Hunter.
All right, all right. Please, can we get some work done here? We've got a small problem with Archimax.
Hey, it isn't the design.
It's not the code.
All I know is any woman has to be twice as good as a man and work twice as hard to get the same job and less pay.
See that, Hunter? Cliche grande.
Woman, how do you think a cliche becomes a cliche?
Come on, Hunter. It is very weird. You don't know anything about this woman.
I do. I had a thing with her.
Oh, man, you are amazing.
It was years ago.
Tommy, you've seen more derriere than a rental car, my friend. You should get a few more women in your life so you can be a census.
Well, no. Maybe you can sleep your way to a better job.
Yeah, right.
Phil can see them through the glass wall of the office. He watches Tom throw some papers on the table, then look through the glass with his hands in his pockets.
Meanwhile, you were asking me about the spinoff.
All right.
Garvin said it was her idea.
He watches as Garvin and Meredith walk into an office below with several other men. Later, Garvin is at a podium.
It's always such a pleasure to come up to Seattle and spend time with the Advanced Products Group. I feel such a warmth for the people here. On the cutting edge, I feel a kinship. And I've always wanted to be able to give you the most...
A woman sits beside Tom.
...original leadership that I could to push the envelope.
How are you, Steph?
I'm sorry you didn't get your promotion.
I'm sorry you didn't get it either.
She nods.
How long have you known?
She turns slowly and looks at him.
Really, that long?
I mean, every time I've wanted to promote a woman, to break the glass ceiling, it's always been the same story. Bud Bob. I've thought about it often since my daughter's death, that in today's climate, had she lived, it would be extremely rare that she ever got to run a company. So it has a special meaning for me when I tell you that this Friday when we announce the merger, we will also announce that the new vice president for advanced operations and planning here in Seattle will be Meredith Johnson. Meredith?
Meredith stands. The blonde man's mouth drops open and he turns to Tom and mouths the words, unbelievable.
Great, huh?
Thanks, Bob. Have the lights, please?
The lights dim and a video monitor shows the Digicom logo.
The Advanced Products Group has been the heart of Digicom and its impressive expansion over the last 10 years. Advanced Products has historically consisted of four distinct divisions. Marketing.
You seem to be spending a lot more time up here, Stephanie.
My son's a freshman at the university. This way I get to see more of him.
I thought it had something to do with the merger.
It's inevitable that these...
This merger means everything to Garvin, doesn't it?
Don't give a man $100 million and you create a frustrated billionaire.
The new compression algorithms should shift the industry standard to full-res digitized video at 60 fields per second with platform-independent RISC processors supported by a 32-bit color-active matrix display.
Conley's a conservative company. Is Meredith conservative?
Combine that with
an
anonymous virtual database.
I thought you knew her.
I think we can agree we're looking at a very exciting future.
Is there anything you don't know, Stephanie?
What we're selling is freedom. We offer through technology what religion and revolution have promised but never delivered. Freedom from the physical body. Freedom from race and gender. From nationality and personality. From place and time. Communicating by cellular phone and handheld computer, PDA, and built-in fax modem, we can relate to each other as pure consciousness.
Afterwards, Meredith is shaking hands with the blonde man as Tom sits with Stephanie.
Smart, touching base with all the division heads. Especially since she didn't name them in her speech.
You think that means something?
Only if she plans to make changes.
Jill said she wasn't planning on making any changes.
You know, Meredith.
Stephanie gets up.
Stephanie, wait a minute. I gotta know something. Am I out of a job?
She walks away.
What was the stealth bomber been in your ear about the whole lunch?
Stephanie, nothing. Speaking small talk.
What are you saying? All of a sudden there's Stephanie Light?
She's talking about her son at the university.
Sorry I didn't get a chance to mention you. Bob asked me to keep it short.
It's okay, it's fine.
Look, I'm jammed all day, but why don't you come up around 7 and we'll have a drink and catch up on a little business?
Sure, that'd be great.
Remember how you liked a good bottle of wine. I'll get one.
Meredith walks away, and Tom watches her approach Garvin, Phil, Chase, Connolly, and another man. Lewin and the blonde man are with Tom.
Did I hear 7? What'd she want to see at 7 about?
I'm sure it's the problems with Arkamax, and we gotta get in sync before these Connolly guys start asking questions.
Now, she doesn't get you excited? Because, you know, I definitely have liftoff.
I'll call you tonight, tell you what the company line is.
Come on, you have a sexual urge every 20 minutes. It's a physiological certainty. You know, it's hardwired into your limbic brain. You can't fight it. Why would you want to fight it? Live a little.
I mean, 10 years from now, you're going to need a forklift to get excited.
I'm going to call you tonight.
I'm counting the minutes.
Later, Tom is on the phone.
There you are. Where have you been all day?
The letter E floats on his computer screen.
Well, I didn't get it. No, they went outside the division. Somebody from operations. Yeah. Well, what can I say? I got passed over. Yeah, what can I say? So listen, you get those tickets for Disneyland?
He opens his email.
No, I know, but I promised the guy, and he's... It's a Mohammed Jafar. Writes with one F. Okay, thanks a lot. Sweetheart, probably not going to be home for dinner tonight, so don't wait up. Okay. I love you, too.
The email reads, Tom, sorry about the job. Better luck next time. Kind regards, Arthur. He opens another one. It reads, are you hot yet? He hits a button and the screen reads, can't reply. Sender address not available. That night, Tom opens the door to Meredith's office.
Are there any assets, sale triggers, which would force redemption?
She waves him in.
In the indenture. Mm-hmm.
She points to a bottle of wine.
Look, Alan, Brown will go 250 on this easy. Let's just do this thing as a top-down recap.
Tom opens the wine.
Not a bad idea for a girl, huh? Let's talk for a thing. Okay, bye.
91 Palmyre. How'd you know about that? I've been looking all over for...
Well, you know, I like all the boys under me to be happy.
He hands her a glass of wine.
Congratulations, Meredith.
Thank you.
They both take a sip.
I brought the files up for Arkamax if you want to go over them.
Let me see your pictures.
The diagram?
Your family. Don't you have pictures?
Oh, yeah, sure.
She sits on a rolled-up carpet and pats a spot next to her. He sits beside her and takes out his wallet.
Here. That's Matthew. That's Eliza at Halloween. And here's Susan with the kids.
Oh, she looks like she always has food in the refrigerator.
Well, she never really lost all her weight after the first baby.
I didn't say she looks like a refrigerator. I mean, obviously, she's made a home for you.
Yeah.
You know, in my fridge back home, we've got a couple bottles of champagne and an orange.
Doesn't Eliza look beautiful?
Yeah, she looks like Susan. I guess it's going to be a bit inhibiting.
What's that?
Domesticity.
Oh, yeah, you'd be surprised.
Well, I don't imagine you can jump her just because all of a sudden you get excited by the way she bends down to pick up the soap. You remember that, don't you?
Yeah, I remember that.
And you miss it.
I have my compensations.
Oh, of course you do. Life's a series of trade-offs. Isn't that what you tell yourself?
Well, I wouldn't trade what I have if that's what you're saying.
I wouldn't want you to. It's exactly why I can trust you. You have a lot more to lose than I do.
They stare at each other.
I think I'm going to bring you up to speed on the problems we're having with the drives.
He gets up.
Kept in good shape, Tom. Nice and hard.
She takes off her jacket.
Thank you.
With his back to her, he picks up a file. When he turns around, he stops and looks at her. Her arms are bare and her skirt is pulled halfway up her thighs. He walks to her and stands in front of her with a file.
Meredith, it's different now. Okay, you're my boss. It's different.
She parts her knees slightly and holds her hands out for the file.
Okay. Rub my shoulders and I'll listen to your problems.
He shakes his head and gives her the file. She smiles as he steps behind her. She drops the file on the floor and leans into his hands as he starts to rub her shoulders.
The specs and the seek times call for 100 milliseconds, okay? That's what we have on the prototypes. But the drive's coming off the line.
You have the drives here.
Either it's the chip or there's a bug in the drive
somewhere.
Sanders,
answer my question.
I'm trying to. And you understand the controller chip, so it positions the split optics. No, no, no. Let me show you the schematic.
No. Rub.
He reaches for the file, but she hooks her arm around his legs and he keeps rubbing.
I can't really understand the depth of the problem unless you get
there. Do you have the drives?
I'll have to send 5 units.
A woman opens the door.
Did I say no calls?
It's Mr. Garvin.
Okay, but after that, nobody.
Is it all right if I leave for the day? I'll forward your calls to voicemail.
It's fine, Mrs. Ross.
Mrs. Ross closes the door and locks it from the outside. Tom looks at the door.
No, you would rather talk about a million different things than answer my question, because the answer is you don't know. You don't know what the problem is. You don't even know if there is a problem. But you can't say. You can't say, I don't know.
Because in your mind, that means you lose. You're worthless. Men. What were you planning to tell the common people?
Well, I can't lie to them.
Well, did it ever occur to you to talk about the prototypes? The prototypes work. Focus on the positive. That's just basic sales.
We're online, Meredith. It's not about the prototypes.
They don't want a lot of mumbo jumbo. They just want to know you're confident you can build
it. I understand that, but I can't
say. Sanders, do you have a problem working for me?
No, I...
Hi, Bob. Nah, you don't want to hear about my hard day. You've got dinner with the Conley people. Yes, that's hard work. All right, hold on, let me get my ducks together.
Meredith,
you know, this merger is not about Archimax. It's about people. They're comfortable with me and Bob, and we're comfortable with them, period. I mean, this isn't about some CD-ROM that'll be obsolete in a year. They ask you what you know, then you tell them, and what you know is you don't know.
Hi, Bob, I'm here. You know, I've got a great idea about that.
Tom takes out his cell phone.
Go ahead.
He walks behind a plastic curtain where part of the office is under renovation.
Yeah, Lou, and this is Sanders. I've discussed the drives with Meredith. She says do not say anything to the Conley people until we found out exactly what the problems are. That is a line for the 8 a.m. meeting tomorrow if there's...
Meredith takes his phone away.
Get down to business.
Wait a second, Meredith.
She kisses him.
Now, is that so bad?
No, that's not so bad, but it's just...
She pushes against him.
You remember all the things we did?
Yeah, I remember.
Things nobody knows about you but me.
She brushes her lip against his.
All our secret.
They kiss. She opens his shirt.
Why don't you just lie back and let me take you? I've got something I want.
She slides down his body.
No, wait a second.
He pulls her up.
So...
Nobody has to know. Nobody gets hurt. It's just a meeting between two colleagues.
She slides her finger into his mouth.
Just another dull day in the computer business.
He sucks on a finger.
No.
She starts to slide to her knees, and he grabs her.
No. No.
No.
No. No. No. No.
Huh?
He takes off his jacket and rips open her shirt.
What you want?
He kisses her hard.
Oh, yeah, come on.
He lifts her and lays her down against a piece of scaffolding. He looks up and sees their reflection.
Oh, God, look at us.
Now!
Come on, now! No!
You can't stop!
No!
He gets up and she hangs onto him. He throws her to the floor. He closes his pants.
This never happened, all right?
Yeah, well, she never used to be this way.
He picks up his cell phone.
I have a family now.
Oh, yeah, well, a family made you stupid.
You take those 2 champagne bottles in your refrigerator.
You get back here and finish what you started.
He walks out.
Do you hear me?
She follows him.
Do you hear me? Get back here and finish what you started or you're dead. You hear me? You are dead!
He runs down the stairs and she watches him from a balcony. He looks up at her and continues down the stairs. He straightens the collar of his jacket and smooths back his hair as he leaves. As she leans over the railing with her shirt open, Meredith sees a cleaning woman looking at her. She wipes her mouth and starts buttoning her shirt. The cleaning woman shakes her head and continues dusting. Meredith stares at her, then walks away. Later, water churns and foams in the wake of the ferry as Tom walks inside. He sees the unemployed man staring sullenly at the floor. Tom looks around, then sits by himself. He takes his phone out of his pocket and presses a button. As he puts the phone back, he winces. He unbuttons the top button of his shirt and sees four parallel scratches on his chest. He closes his eyes for a moment, then looks out the window. The unemployed man looks at him from behind as Tom shakes his head. Cars light up the highway as they drive away from the ferry. Tom gets out of a taxi and walks to the house.
I notified that we will hold your client liable for any damages.
Hi, honey.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm here. Come in.
I'm going to take a shower.
No kiss?
I just feel kind of...
Screw them. They don't deserve you.
I'm sorry, honey. Could you go down and get me a beer, please?
In the shower, Tom smooths back his wet hair and lets water run onto his chest. He looks down at the scratches and carefully touches the skin around them. Susan walks into the bathroom with the beer and takes a sip.
Thanks, honey. Before I forget, can you do me a favor? The battery went dead in my cellular.
Yeah, sure. I thought they were supposed to last all day.
That's what I thought.
She picks up his phone.
Who's Meredith Johnson?
What?
Meredith Johnson. She called just before you got home.
Meredith called?
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago.
She puts his phone in the charger.
She said the 8 a.m. had been pushed back to 8:30. Where's she?
She's the one. She's the new VP.
She's the one?
Yep. She came from the valley.
How old is she?
I don't know. 33, maybe?
It's not concerned for that job. Have you ever heard of her?
She's a face guy. She made the merger happen. Now she's Garvin's fair-haired, whatever.
He turns off the water and puts a towel over his chest.
But I don't understand. Where did she come from? Has she got any technical background?
No. That's the thing with a merger. Everything's changed.
Well, that's not the worst thing in the world. She'll crash and burn. And maybe they'll appreciate you.
Well, I don't know. Things aren't easy out there.
Oh, quit. I'd rather you quit than have them treat you this way.
I said this morning we might lose everything, including the stock options.
I don't care about the stock options. I'll go back to work full time.
I'm perfectly capable of supporting our family.
Just trying to help Tom. You're too nice sometimes.
I don't need you to fight my battles for me, okay, Susan? Thank you very much.
He turns the sound up on the TV. They get into bed, and he winces as she rests her head on his chest.
Okay, then. I guess I deserve that, but ask yourself. Why does a man run around with a lot of girls? Because he's unhappy at home. Because he's lonely, that's why. But that was before you, friend. I've stopped running.
Why are you wearing a T-shirt? You never wear a T-shirt to bed.
I don't know. I just got a little cold.
Oh, Tom, what are you going to do?
Grin and bear it like I usually do. Hope it doesn't get any worse.
Tuesday. A sculptured lion's head decorates the arched entrance of Digicom's office building as Tom walks in. Inside, Connolly is wearing a headset that covers his eyes. A blue light shines on him.
The computer takes the information from the database and constructs a virtual environment which is then projected inside the headset. When the user walks on the pad, he or she feels like they're walking through a corridor with drawers of files on all sides of them. A user can stop at any time, open any file drawer, and thumb through all the data. Oh, the laser scanners are for body representation.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it?
The blonde man is demonstrating Archimax. Garvin, Phil, Meredith, and others are there. Tom walks up some stairs.
Where is everybody?
They left 15 minutes ago. Don Cherry's demoing the corridor for the Connolly people.
I thought the meeting was pushed back to 8:30.
No, 7:30. It didn't get pushed back. It got pushed up. Nobody told you?
No.
Now, if someone wants to log on with a regular computer, what they'll see is a model of themselves with a photo that's pulled up from the data file.
Oh, hey. I know you.
Yeah, the photo bears some resemblance to me, I must admit. Just a little inside joke here at the company. Now, we've also constructed virtual help. Users, they always need online help, so what we've done is we've created an angel to help you.
As Tom walks in, Meredith and Garvin glare at him. An angel with Don's face appears on a screen.
Welcome to the corridor.
Oh, same face. Angel.
Conley's wearing a glove.
How do I open this drawer?
What's the angel saying? Ah, that's between him and his angel.
His image is on a screen.
This looks good.
He's looking at documents.
Hold on. What is that?
I believe it's all your financial records, Bob.
Turn that damn thing off.
Oh, sorry. In the final system, there will be safeguards that will control access.
Tom. So glad you could join us.
Afterward.
That was a sweet entrance, my friend. What happened? Ferry hit an iceberg? You were supposed to call me after your meeting with Meredith, remember?
I called you from her office. Left a message on your machine.
Oh, come on. There was nothing on my machine. Then you're late again. Thank God Meredith took over the discussion.
Hey, pal, I left a message on your machine, all right? Check it out.
Meredith walks up to him.
Did you get my message?
You told Susan the meeting had been moved to 8:30.
I said 7:30. If your wife can't take any message, then why didn't get an answering machine?
Meredith.
She walks to Garvin. Later, a woman rolls a chair to a conference table where Garvin, Phil, Meredith, Conley, and others are seated.
There you go, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you.
Welcome. Full house today, huh?
Yeah.
He sits in the chair, and it's much lower than everyone else's.
Meredith's been getting us up to speed on the Archimax. Now that you're here, we'd like your read on it. Meredith told us there's real problems. She said you might have to go back to the drawing board.
Well, I'm sorry if I conveyed that impression to Meredith. I am convinced that we can manufacture the drives.
Hey, how many of the drives coming off the line meet specs?
I don't have that information with me.
Meredith told us the line is running at 29%. Is that approximately right?
Yes.
So the seek times are off specs. There's a power flicker in the screen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
With this merger coming up, don't you think you should have told somebody about this?
I don't think the merger is about a CD-ROM that might be obsolete in less than a year. I think the merger is about people.
It'll be obsolete in a year?
Mr. Sanders, the promise of the Archimax technology was a central factor in this merger.
You know, I may be a bit at fault here. When I spoke to Tom, he told me the problem with the drives were serious.
Serious and not so serious.
I just didn't want to be covering anything up.
I'm not covering anything up.
Just give us worst case.
Worst case scenarios, we go back to the drawing boards and we're down for 9 months.
9 months? Meredith said 6 weeks.
Hey, look, nobody likes to go back to the board, all right? But sometimes it can be an advantage.
Is there a problem? This isn't an inquisition, Bob. I feel like I'm pulling teeth here.
John just wants to get a handle on what the problems are with the lines.
I don't know is the honest answer.
Wait a minute. You are the head of manufacturing. You are in charge of Archimax. There are problems with it that could take 9 months to fix, which I assume means at least a year. And the bottom line is, you don't know?
Later, Tom storms into his office.
Damn it!
Phil walks in.
Tom.
Just the man I want to see. Phil, this is not going to work out with Meredith.
Evidently not.
You see what she did to me? She set me up now, right in front of Garvin, Conley, all of them.
Tom,
she sets
why don't
me
you
up.
Sit down?
Why?
On the couch. What do I... Please, would you just sit?
Phil closes the door as Cindy watches through the glass.
Meredith told me about your meeting last night.
What? What'd she tell you?
She wants to handle the intervention internally, which is best for everyone. She still cares about you, Tom.
Wait a minute. What did she say?
Not to put too fine a point on it, she said you sexually harassed her.
I sexually harassed her.
What would you call it?
Phil, she jumped me in her office.
She jumped you. You're in denial. That's typical.
She did everything short of rape me, Phil.
You need help. Tom, you have to accept responsibility.
What do you call this? What about that?
Tom shows him the scratches.
Looks to me like she was forced to defend herself.
Defend herself? The woman's probably on a Stairmaster an hour a day. She can kick both of us.
It may have seemed different to you at the time.
I did not harass her, okay? She harassed me.
I never even heard of such a thing, a woman harassing a man.
What are you doing here now? Why are you here right now?
As your friend.
As my friend.
I don't understand.
As you're my friend.
When Garvin finds out about this, he's going to want to throw you out and never look back. I'm saying, let's keep this quiet. That's what Meredith wants, too. Resolve this quickly and quietly.
Cindy is still watching.
I'm offering you a chance to make a new life. Keep your family out of this mess. Keep your job. Obviously with some kind of lateral move.
Lateral? When you say lateral, you mean out of the division.
You can't stay here, Tom. She's scared out of her wits.
I am not leaving this division. I have spent 10 years of my life here. I built this place, okay? Now we got a spin-off going
on. We're thinking, you know, Austin.
Austin?
Later.
I told him what she said. He claimed it was the other way around. He says she harassed him.
What? He denies it?
God, as with these things, the man always denies it.
Is he crazy?
I offered him a lateral move to Austin.
A lateral move to Austin? That's like a duck making a lateral move to Al Orange. Come on, Phil, he's too smart for that.
We just have to hope he's smart enough to see he doesn't have any options.
This is a damn bomb we're sitting on that can blow everything sky high.
Meredith is the key to this whole merger. I can't have her involved in some sex scandal. And I won't say goodbye to $100 million. You got that, Phil?
Yeah, I get the picture, Bob.
In Tom's office, the letter E floats on his computer screen. He opens an email that reads, The Seattle Post-Intelligencer, March 8, 1993, page 3, A Friend. He types, Who is a friend? And a list of codes is displayed. He closes the email and goes to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer website. He pages through the online newspaper. Next to a photo of a woman, he reads the headline, Million Dollar Sexual Harassment Claim, and a quote from a lawyer that says, Zero tolerance is the only policy for this illegal behavior. A door reads, Chandler Hogue and Alvarez. Tom is with a man and a woman.
There were no witnesses?
No. Her assistant left earlier in the evening. There was a cleaning lady outside the office. I don't know how much she heard.
Did you report that to anyone?
In the morning, yeah.
And what was the company's response?
Well, they believed her. They suggested I transfer to Austin.
Oh, I heard they were selling Austin.
Yeah, well, the point is, if I go to Austin, I lose everything. All right? My stock options, everything that I worked for.
Did you call anyone after the incident?
No.
Did you tell your wife?
No.
Oh, boy.
Why not?
Well, I didn't want to upset her. I felt guilty putting myself in the position in the first place.
How would you characterize Miss Johnson? Physically?
Well, she's very pretty. She was Miss Teenage New Mexico or something.
So you were kissing?
Yes. And then she began to rub me.
Rubbing you where?
You know. She...
And?
I don't feel comfortable talking about this.
Because I'm a woman?
No, because you act like it's some kind of game.
Mr. Sanders, why are you here?
I want to know what my options are.
What your options are?
I want to know whether I can sue her for sexual harassment.
Well, to do that, you'd have to convince a jury that you were alone in a room with Miss Teenage New Mexico and you said no.
Sexual harassment is not about sex. It is about power. She has it, you don't. If you sue, You'll never get another job in the computer business. If you don't sue, they'll bury you in Austin. If you sue, it's news. If you don't, it's gossip. If you sue, nobody will believe you. If you don't, your wife won't. They will make your life into a living hell for the next 3 years until this case goes to trial. And for that privilege, it's going to cost you a minimum of $100,000. Do you not think it's a game, Mr. Sanders? It's a game to them. How do you feel about losing?
Afterwards, he's waiting for an elevator. He remembers Phil's words.
That's what Meredith wants, to resolve it quickly and quietly.
He walks back into the lawyer's office.
He said she's not going to press charges. Why? It doesn't make any sense. She's already accused me. Why stop there? Why not press charges? Meredith didn't press charges because she couldn't. Digicom is planning a merger with Connolly White. It is supposed to happen this Friday, all right? Now, they think that we are as conservative as they are. With a scandal like this, Connolly going to bed with Katie Couric, waking up with Jessica Hahn, Garvin is out $100 million.
I think we might make a plaintiff out of this guy yet.
Not a plaintiff, just a potential plaintiff. I don't have to sue. I just threaten to sue.
Oh, that's a very dangerous game, Mr. Sanders. Are you willing to play it?
For the next 3 days, this loose cannon here is in a position to put a lot of pressure on this company.
And they on you, Mr. Sanders. They on you.
Later, Phil is with Garvin, Meredith, and Stephanie.
Call security. Throw them out on the sidewalk.
Bob, we have to appear to be impartial. Keep him in his job. Keep paying him. No hassles.
Hey, Tom Sanders. Who's he to sue me?
Sexual harassment under Title VII. He says he'll file with the State Human Rights Commission tomorrow morning if we don't fire Meredith and...
If he files, it becomes public. It'd blow the deal.
We all realize that, Bob. Obviously, so does he. He's blackmailing us.
This is America, damn it. The legal system is supposed to protect people like me.
It gets worse. His lawyer is Catherine Alvarez.
Oh, great. She'd change her name to TV listings just to get it in the paper.
I'm trying to get them to mediate. Keep it quiet.
Mediate?
Mediate or split the difference?
I'm just hoping he'll agree. Alvarez will tell him not to.
He'll agree. He doesn't want this out in the open any more than we do.
We pushed him too hard. He has nothing to lose.
Oh, really? Well, he hasn't told his wife yet.
Garvin looks at her.
How do you know that?
I know Sanders, remember? He likes his secrets.
Garvin smiles. Tom comes up to Cindy, and they walk together.
Excuse me.
Gotta go down to diagnostics.
Where were you?
You and Sherry pulling the drives apart.
John Levin called.
John Levin Cemetery?
He said it was important.
I don't know why the drives didn't come this morning like they were supposed to.
Susan called to remind you. You had that benefit with Lewins tonight.
Please call Susan.
She said,
tell her there's
think
no
about
way
canceling.
Possible.
She said Lewins paid a lot of money for these tickets.
Okay, I'll be there at 7:30 at the Arboretum and ask her to bring me a shirt and jacket.
Sure. Tom, is everything all right?
Everything is fine. Thank you for asking.
He walks up to Don and Lewin, who are wearing magnification goggles.
I'm going to kill Arthur. We got to solve this before the Friday meeting with Connolly, and you guys get the drives an hour ago.
What the hell's Arthur doing over there? All he does anymore is pass macadamia nuts out to people. Is he a plant manager or a flight attendant?
He's sending you macadamia nuts?
Don, what's slowing it down?
Here. Let me show you something.
Don picks up a computer chip.
Arthur was right. There's a compatibility problem with the controller chip.
What, is it a bug?
Don Cherry debugged Archimax. There are no bugs in Archimax.
Fabrication problem.
It could...
Lewin uses a tool.
What are you doing?
What?
This is a sophisticated piece of electronics. It's not a pickup truck.
Cherry. Don, how bad is it? We've run off 4,000 of these already. I got junk all of them.
I've told Arthur to send me 10 units in heat-sealed plastic bags right off the line. It's a hunch I have.
I do what you can. We are against the wall. I mean, I don't understand it. We're in prototypes. We got no problems at all. We go into manufacturing. The whole thing falls apart.
Mr. Garvin wants to see you. He said not to tell anyone.
A woman's talking to Lewin later.
I've got a Catherine Alvarez on two.
Thank you, Sin. Could you close the door, please?
Cindy looks at him, then closes the door.
Hello.
Cindy watches through the glass for a moment, then goes to her desk.
Hi. Well, they want to mediate. I think we should agree. I don't want this all getting out either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He opens an email that reads, pig.
Yeah.
The screen reads, can't reply, sender address not available.
No, I agree, we can get this all over in a week and even my wife to snap it.
The screen reads, sorry, your privileges does not include sysop control at this level.
No, I do not want to tell my wife. I don't want to upset her if I don't have to.
He types, show privileges.
Yeah.
The screen reads, access privileges, superior user level 5, current user level 0.
Wait a second.
He puts down the phone and looks around the office. He opens a desk drawer and finds empty CD cases. He shuts the drawer.
Guess what? They locked me out of my computer and cleaned out my files. Yeah. I guess it's starting.
Garvin opens a door.
Mark. Come on in. You sure I'm not interrupting anything?
No, not at all, sir.
Lewin walks into Garvin's office. Tom is at the elevator wearing a jacket and carrying his knapsack. The elevator doors open and Meredith is inside.
Going down.
Tom stands still as he looks away from her.
Aw, don't tell me you're scared of me.
He steps onto the elevator and the doors close.
I didn't want it to be this way.
Oh, yeah. We could be messing around on this elevator right now.
I really do think of you as a friend, you
know. Oh, come off it, will you? I mean, you're the one that calls Blackburn.
Only to beat you to the punch. It's the only card you had. I knew you'd play
it. I wasn't playing a card. You were the one that was supposed to...
She presses the alarm button and he turns it off.
This isn't a game, Meredith.
Oh, come on. You'd have a great job. The spinoff would make you a millionaire. So we have a little bit of fun. It's not like breaking rocks.
You don't get it, do you?
Poor Sanders. You have no idea what you're up against, as usual. By this time tomorrow, you'll wish you took that job in Austin.
We'll see. We'll see.
That night with the Lewins.
I'm trying to figure out whether to get a fat Barbie for Liza. Mattel makes a fat Barbie? Yeah. They call it a happy-to-be-me Barbie.
Does she come with the happy-to-be-divorced Ken?
I'm serious. I don't know which one is more stigmatizing.
Barbie stigmatized. That's...
It's that whole male 36, 24, 36 image of beauty. Women are oppressed. It's just a fact of life.
Women are oppressed, John. 80% of the suicides are committed by men. They're dropping like flies with heart attacks.
You're not as tough.
Hey, sorry, we're just fighting the wars.
You start the wars.
Dell, I'm sorry, I don't have my own crisis hotline.
They walk to a table.
You're really taking this Meredith Johnson thing well.
It doesn't have anything to do with it, Dell.
Oh, it's today's rumor she was once a man.
Why don't you just tell her?
Tell her what, Mark?
Well, why don't you tell her there's a lot of us who have worked just as hard as you, and you're going to blow this merger for all of us. What about that?
What happened?
Tom steps closer to Lewin.
Who got to you?
You know, it's not that simple, Tom. It's just the thought of losing millions of dollars happens to get stuck right here in my throat, okay? You see, this was my big shot, Pinhead. It's not like I'm being scouted by the NBA.
Mark, what happened?
Well, who knows what happens with these things? The old girlfriend, the bottle of wine, the late meeting, you fill in the blanks.
Thanks, pal. Thanks a lot.
You're like one of these women, Tom, who think they're going back to the hotel room at 2 a.m. drunk to watch HBO. Could you possibly be more lame?
For your information, Mark, Tom told me everything.
Tom looks at Susan.
Everything that happened. And I support him 100%.
Well, you know, that is so sweet, but I don't think you're necessarily...
I don't think we should even talk about it. Now, can we just enjoy the evening?
They sit. Susan takes a sip of wine, looks at Tom, and forces a smile. Later, Tom and Susan are alone at an underground bus stop.
Obviously, something happened. Did you have sex?
No, no,
think
no.
Before you answer, because well, if you lied,
I said no, no. She kissed me, and she unzipped my pants, and that was it. Nothing happened. That was it.
Nothing happened. How did it get that way?
What do you think? I encouraged her?
Her hand was in your pants?
Yeah, but
how did her hand get in your pants?
Nothing happened. Then she accuses me of sexual harassment, and.
What are you saying? She harassed you?
You don't believe me?
Well, the Mark doesn't believe you.
Mark, he's got stock options on the brains. I mean, he's got fits of backstabbing.
Especially you with your reputation. I mean, everybody's sure you're having an affair with Cindy.
I'm not having an affair with Cindy.
Oh, God, how could you let this happen?
Nothing happened, Susan.
Something happened.
A bus pulls up. Later, they're on the ferry.
I was going to tell you, Susan.
I can't believe everyone knows this but me.
Nobody knows it.
You're so naive. Of course they know.
What does she look like?
She's attractive.
1 to 10.
8.
She looks at him.
9.
What does the company say?
Backing her. You want me to transfer to Austin to some therapy? Something.
Austin? I'm not moving to Austin.
We're not moving to Austin, Susan.
Texas?
Susan, I'm pressing charges.
For what?
Sexual harassment. We have mediation tomorrow morning.
When are you going to tell me about this? Oh, that's brilliant, Tom. Show up without your wife. As a lawyer, I'd have a field day with
that. I'll take care of it.
Are you out of your mind? They'll try to destroy you.
It's not going
to
go that far.
It'll take over a whole life.
Susan.
Depositions and whispering and legal fees. And for what? Some damn personal vindication. And in the end, all anyone ever remembers is that you were involved in something sleazy.
They walk to their SUV.
Do you have a lawyer?
Catherine Alvarez.
Oh, great. When do we all get to be on hard copy?
At home.
I'd love to hear what you'd say if it happened to you.
You know how many times this has happened to me.
Wait a minute. You never said this
You're
ever
so
happened.
Damn narcissistic. Nothing ever happens until it happens to you.
Well, if somebody did this to you, you should have said something
you know
about
women
it.
Women have but... always done, Tom. I deal with it. I do not make a federal case out of it. Now go in there tomorrow and work it out.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I should just shut up. I mean, what the hell?
Just apologize. Apologize and get your job
apologize?
Back.
Apologize? What are
you talking about? Shh. The shooter not sleeping.
Well, wait a minute. I got a better idea. Why don't I just admit it? Why don't I be that guy, that evil white male you're all complaining about? I like it.
Stop it.
Hey, Chowman, come on down here, will you? I want to exercise my dominance.
Scaring her.
I'm getting a patriarchal urge.
Tom, the children.
Yeah, my children, all right? My children that I provide for and protect. That they can come in here between me and my wife, move my family out, take my job and take the family and the house that we have made. And I apologize to them, Susan. They call me a rapist and I apologize. Oh, come on, Susan, this is some kind of joke. Sexual harassment is about power. When did I have the power? When?
Tom walks out of the house as Susan stares at him. He looks out over the bay. The lights of Seattle twinkle in the distance. He walks back inside. At the computer, he opens an email. It reads, "You know everything you need to know about Meredith Johnson. She is not your concern. Solve the problem. A friend." Wednesday. A tall building reaches into the overcast Seattle sky. A sign reads, Magnuson Mediation Center.
Good morning, I'm Judge Murphy. This is a mediation, not a court of law. Our proceedings will remain confidential. I must urge you to maintain a civil and courteous tone. Our goal is to determine the nature of the dispute between the parties and how best to resolve it. The parties have agreed that Mr. Sanders will speak first and then be cross-examined by Mr. Heller. Ms. Johnson will speak next and be cross-examined by Ms. Alvarez. Any questions? Good. Then let's get started.
I had my cellular phone with me, so when she called Garvin, I called Mark Lewin, head of our design, to give him an upshot on our meeting.
That's when she approached you?
That's correct. She took the phone from me and she kissed me.
Where?
A stenographer is typing.
She kissed me in my ear, on my neck, on my mouth. She put her tongue in my mouth.
When you asked her to stop, did she?
No. She unzipped my pants.
Were you aroused?
Yes. Yeah. Then she slid down. I grabbed her by the wrists. I threw her on the ground. And then I just wanted to get out of there.
And at that point, what did Ms. Johnson do?
She threatened me. She said, "You're dead." And
And then the next day, Mr. Blackburn here told me that she said that I had sexually harassed her.
The judge raises her eyebrows.
Mr. Heller?
Mr. Sanders, would you like a break?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Mr. Sanders, you say the bottle of wine was Miss Johnson's idea?
Yes.
But when you were living with Miss Johnson, didn't you discover wines together on trips to the Napa Valley?
Yes.
Romantic trips?
Tom takes a sip of water.
Yes.
But you weren't expecting anything romantic when you went up to her office?
No.
How would you characterize your relationship with Miss Johnson in the good old days? Highly sexual?
I really wouldn't know how to rate it.
Heller looks at notes.
Every day, sometimes twice a day, sex in public places, viewing of pornography, mechanical devices.
Susan closes her eyes.
Sometimes we sat on the couch and watched television.
But when you became reacquainted with Miss Johnson, you no longer saw her that way as a sexual object. She was just your boss now.
That's correct.
Mr. Sanders, during your rather fantastic testimony, there was one moment that rang true.
Tom looks at Susan.
You said, and I quote, "I was angry. I felt I was being pushed around," correct?
That's correct.
The truth is, you felt that way all day, isn't it? You'd been expecting a promotion, and she got it instead, and you got angry about it.
I felt I deserved the job, but that did not mean that I was...
You took right up to her office with you. You were going to show her who's boss.
It's not true.
Mr. Sanders, did you tell your wife about your 7 o'clock meeting with Miss Johnson?
I told her I had a meeting and I would be home late.
You expected to be late?
No, but if I got home earlier, my wife would be surprised, pleasantly.
So you make it a rule to lie to your wife?
I didn't lie to my wife.
When you called your wife, did you tell her that Miss Johnson was a former lover of yours?
No.
When you got home, did you tell her what happened?
No. I was hoping it was going to go away.
I'm sorry? You were hoping you'd get away with it?
Mr. Heller, you were advised not to debunk the illusion that this dispute might be settled amicably.
It's okay. I have no further questions.
Tom turns to look at Susan, who wipes away a tear. Later, Meredith is giving her side of the story.
I asked to see his family pictures. I thought if we put it on that basis, it would obviously be clear that things had changed between us.
Mr. Sanders, you have those pictures with you now. I'd like to Xerox them for the file.
You can continue.
Tom takes out the pictures.
He remarked that his wife hadn't lost all the weight that she'd gained from having the children. I said his children were beautiful. He said they made him feel old, and that seeing me after all these years reminded him of what it was like to be young, and that marriage was a tough trade-off.
Go on.
My assistant, Mrs. Ross, came in and asked if she could go home. I wanted her to stay, but I felt guilty. I'd been keeping her late for weeks preparing for my new job.
And where was Mr. Sanders at that point?
He began to rub my shoulders.
And you let him?
Well, it was awkward, but I thought we'd finish our discussion and leave it at that.
Is that when he tried to kiss you?
No, I got a call from Mr. Garvin, and then I came back over to Tom and told him that I thought that would be it for the evening, and that's when he began to kiss me.
Did you try to stop him?
Yes, I struggled with him and told him to stop, but he didn't.
Did he attack you physically?
Meredith looks down.
Yes. He grabbed me by my hair and forced me down on my knees. And,
she turns to Heller.
This is making me very uncomfortable.
Would you like some water?
Heller gets up.
Thank you.
Heller gives her a glass of water, puts a hand on her shoulder, then sits.
And what did you do then?
Her eyes are filled with tears.
He threw me down on the scaffold, and I kneed him in the groin.
And that was the end of it?
Well, it's strange. I would have thought my instinct would have been to run, but I became very angry. I yelled at him, called him names, told him I would kill him, stuff like that, just yelling.
How did he react?
Well, he seemed to realize what he had done because he pulled up his pants and he ran out.
And did you call anyone afterwards?
No, I didn't know what to do. I kept going over the day in my mind, trying to figure out if somehow this whole thing was my fault.
So you reported it the next morning?
Yes.
But you didn't bring any formal charges. Why not?
I went to talk to Phil Blackburn. I knew he was a friend of Tom's. I didn't want to destroy Tom's marriage or his career, but it's clear we couldn't work together. I would be too frightened. I'm frightened just sitting here.
She wipes tears from her face.
We have nothing further.
Ms. Alvarez. Ms. Johnson, I just want to be clear on one thing. Mr. Sanders suggested the bottle of wine.
That's right.
But you bought it.
I sent my assistant, Mrs. Ross, out to buy a bottle.
That afternoon?
Yes.
Did you tell her what kind of wine?
I said to get a nice Chardonnay. I remembered that Tom liked white wine.
From those trips to Napa, that he was sort of an amateur wine connoisseur and that he would be impressed by an ice bottle.
Yes.
Do you remember the wine?
No.
The 91 Pallmeyer?
Yes, that's right.
Do you know where your assistant got that wine?
I assume that she got it from the liquor store down the street.
Would it surprise you to know, Ms. Johnson, that there isn't a single liquor store in Seattle that carries that bottle?
Mrs. Ross is very resourceful.
Very resourceful? A bottle of wine you can't find within 500 miles of Seattle.
I have no idea where she got the bottle of wine.
Isn't it true, Ms. Johnson, that you told Mrs. Ross 3 weeks ago that you wanted a bottle of the 91 Pallmeyer for your meeting with Mr. Sanders?
That's not true.
And when she couldn't find it, you said, what was that? It was had such managerial brio. Oh, here it is. If you don't find the wine, find a replacement.
Ms. Alvarez, do you have testimony from Mrs. Ross?
Yes, I do.
Meredith stares at Catherine.
Miss Johnson?
The fact is, Mrs. Ross has personal problems. She's a drinking problem. She tends to make up stories to make herself seem more important. I told Mrs. Ross to go buy a bottle of wine after Tom and I spoke at the Connolly White luncheon. For all I know, she had that bottle of wine at home.
Maybe in her wine cellar.
Miss Alvarez, any more questions?
No, not for now.
Catherine smiles and nods at Meredith.
I think this is a good time for a break.
Later.
I just got some information on Meredith. You're not going to believe this, or maybe you will. Okay, Alan gave me a list. We can't verify any of this.
What are you about? You told me you didn't have sex with her.
Susan.
Well, what about...
I did not have sex with her, okay?
Oh, well, what is it, Tom? She's trying to quit smoking.
Susan, I'm telling you the truth. She did it, Susan. That's the whole point. Susan, I was cornered. What am I supposed to do?
You let it happen.
I did not let it happen.
How could you do that? How could you let that woman into our lives?
I did not. How could I let her what into the...
Get this.
Catherine enters.
10 of her subordinates have suddenly transferred out in the last 5 years. All men. How's that for a red flag?
Can we get hold of them?
Yeah, but nobody's going to talk, and we can't subpoena them because this is just a mediation.
Damn it.
Do you want to have lunch?
No, I gotta go back to the office.
Tom puts a hand on Susan's shoulder.
How about you, Mrs. Sanders? Are you hungry?
Susan puts her hand over his and nods.
So, how are you holding up? Are you married?
Chandler, Hogue, and Alvarez. I married Chandler.
You married your boss?
Classic case of sexual harassment. He asked me out 5 times before I said yes. Today, if I had said no once, he would have been afraid to ask again.
Susan smiles.
Tom tells me you're a lawyer.
10 years.
You want to switch hats? Tell me what you're thinking.
I don't look good in hats.
You're afraid she might be telling the truth, aren't you?
Yes.
What he did out of weakness.
That hardly makes it better, does it?
Look, I can't get in the middle of your relationship with your husband. But the fact of the matter is she broke the law, and that's what makes the difference.
At Digicom, Don puts one of the drives in plastic.
How long you had these?
Came in an hour ago. Oh, by the way, Garvin had me send the corridor over to the Four Seasons for the Connolly people to play with.
It's in the hotel?
Yeah, well, you know, the Connolly people had such fun with it yesterday.
Get anywhere with the drives? You know, I'm counting on you.
I have a hunch.
Well, what is it?
I don't know.
Well, come on, what is it?
I don't know.
Tom taps him on the arm.
She got to you, didn't she?
We What do you expect? They're stronger, they're smarter, and they don't fight fair. It's the next step in human evolution. It's like the Amazons keep a few of us around for sperm and kill off the rest.
So what do you have?
If I know something for a fact, I won't withhold it. But I can't go out on a limb. It's just too intense around here. I'm 23. I can't wake up tomorrow and find that I'm out of the computer business.
Don walks away. Garvin sees Meredith walking down a set of stairs.
Meredith, why aren't you at the mediation?
Well, I just came back to, this is the last thing I needed this week.
Come in.
They walk into his office.
You know, the situation you're in, something's come up. I need to know exactly what happened that night.
Well, it's exactly like I told Phil.
You're not talking to Phil. We got a hold of Sanders' phone records. It's possible somebody might have overheard the two of you.
An email to Tom reads, "You're playing her game. Play your game. Solve the problem. A friend." Tom is sitting on a couch in his office.
John Levin called again.
Find out what it's about, Cindy.
He said he had to talk to you personally.
I don't want to talk to him now.
Tom, could I talk to you?
Cindy's on the speakerphone.
Cindy, are you a friend?
She looks at him through the glass.
A friend?
Yeah, you know. A friend. A friend.
It depends on what you mean by a friend.
Yeah. All right, never mind.
He puts on his suit jacket and sees Hunter working at a computer. He leaves his office. The pictures of his family are on a photocopy machine. A color copy lands in the output tray. Tom is walking through the building as Phil watches him from a balcony with a cell phone to his ear.
He's heading for the elevator now.
Phil puts the phone away and Tom walks out of the building. Garvin is sitting in a car out front. He motions for Tom to come over.
You heading back to the mediation?
Yeah, I gotta get back. It's starting.
Oh, I'll give you a lift. Don't you think it's time we talked, you and me?
He pulls away with Tom in the car.
Now, as I understand it, you both had a chance to get it off your chest, your version of what happened. Now I want it to stop.
What I got off my chest was not a version.
It's only somebody's version. That's the legacy of the modern age. We have information, but no truth. Little flashes of electrons in a grain of sand.
I'm telling the truth, Bob.
You can look at this thing from all sides.
How many sides are there?
Well, so, all right, let's say she made a mistake. So what? I mean, she made a pass, that's all. She put her hand on your knee. You could have decided it was flattering. You could have just taken it off. You could have handled it any number of ways. But this, I mean, this vindictiveness, Tom, I have to tell you, I'm surprised.
It's against the law. I'm employed by her. I work for her.
No. You work for me. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, really. After all the years, why didn't you just come to me, not go hire this woman, this lawyer?
Well, maybe I should have.
I mean, why can't you just forget it, you know? Work together like civilized adults, and everybody makes a pile of money down the line. What's wrong with that?
Things have gone too far.
No, things can go back.
Afterward, Tom is with Catherine.
Why? Why would he offer to settle now?
Well, they probably realized how much they got to lose.
Oh, no, he had us on the run all morning. It doesn't add up.
Maybe there's a weakness or some vulnerability we don't know about. Oh, I'm still getting these messages from a friend. I've printed out the address. Maybe one of your investigators can check it out.
He hands her a sheet of paper.
I hope the company doesn't find him first. Remember the cleaning lady?
Yeah.
Well, she's out of town. Nobody knows where or when she's coming back. The Bahamas, probably, with Mrs. Ross on the next plane to join her. These guys play hardball, Tom.
Meredith is applying lipstick in the restroom. In the mirror, she sees Susan walk in. They stare at each other for a moment as Meredith rubs her lips together.
This is really nice.
Tom and Catherine walk into the mediation room where Phil is talking with Heller. Cindy is seated next to them. She looks at Tom with furrowed brows, and Tom stares at her as he walks to the opposite side of the table. He shakes his head as he sits. Later, Heller is questioning Cindy.
Did Mr. Sanders ever touch you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable?
I don't think he's aware of it.
Just answer the questions, please.
Yes.
How does he touch you?
He'll pat me on my behind or rub my shoulders while I'm sitting at my desk.
Rub your shoulders?
I don't think he means anything by it.
But you don't like it.
I just feel it's inappropriate.
I'm not sure I see the relevance of the witness.
Obviously, we're trying to establish a pattern of behavior here. Sexual harassers generally follow a pattern.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Cindy looks at Tom.
You don't have any chiropractic problems, do you? Any neck problems? Or your back?
No.
So you would characterize this behavior as flirting or sexual?
I suppose so.
But you never said anything.
He's my boss.
You didn't report it?
No.
He's your boss, I understand. Your job is at stake, rumors, whether people would even believe you. And if I asked you if you ever had any sexual relations with Mr. Sanders, same answer?
No, I didn't.
Didn't report it?
It never happened.
I understand. I have no further questions.
Later, Tom's with Susan.
Barbara calls. About the Disneyland tickets from the Hundred, what's his name?
Jafar.
Yeah, well, he's got the tickets and an upgrade at the hotel.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate it.
He gave me your wallet photos.
She hands him a plastic bag with his photos inside.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.
He kisses her.
Bye.
She drives away. At the office, Tom walks to a soda vending machine. Hunter is sitting at a table.
You know, it's funny how you always assumed it would be you who got the job, or Lewin always assumed it would be him or you. But nobody ever thought for a second it might be me. Isn't that funny?
Tom opens a soda.
That's not true. You were always on the list.
Oh, really? Well, let me guess. Hunter, that's someone you follow into battle. Too much of a team player. Doesn't have that killer instinct. Doesn't have those tools. I wonder what that is all the code for.
What are you saying, Hunter? Are you on Meredith's side?
I studied engineering for 8 years. I was the only woman in that department. You know what I did? I worked. You think I'm on Meredith's side?
She walks away.
So what do you want to do?
Catherine is in Tom's office.
What?
Their offer ends midnight. It's exactly what Garvin told you. You get your job back, she's your boss, everybody goes back to work, period.
Did you find out about a friend? Did we get the address from internet?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Arthur Friend, a chemistry professor from the University of Washington who happens to be trekking through Nepal for the last 3 weeks. So you've been getting messages from a locked office.
Well, I'm glad we got that one solved. I got a call to him. Told the drives we're having problems with came in from Malaysia.
Only you, Sanders.
What?
Anybody else would be dreaming up ways how to sabotage the company, not how to solve their problems.
Hi, it's Adele and Mark. We're not home right now, but if you leave your name and number, we'll call you back as soon as we can.
What?
That's Mark's wife's voice on the machine, but when I called Monday, it was a man's voice. The next day, Mark said he never got the message.
Catherine sits.
I must have dialed the wrong number that night.
So?
He takes his cell phone from his suit jacket pocket.
That's why the battery was dead when I got home.
Tom, what are you talking about?
He punches the letters L-E-L into the phone.
That's why Garvin wants to make a deal. He's got my phone records. I've got a 10-minute phone bill the same time I'm in Meredith's office. See, she yanked the phone away from me. I'm in her office. I call the wrong number, but I never hung up the phone. The
phone line is open. Somebody out there's got this whole thing on an answering machine.
He punches in the letters L-E-V, and the phone display reads John Levin.
It's Levin, not Lewin.
Later with Levin.
Hey, John! John!
What's going on? Hey, I've been getting these phone calls. Some creep has my TRW, my visa. And then I go to the office, and everything's turned upside down. My files, my drawers.
Wait, they got the tape?
What I'm saying is, it's a good thing I brought it home. I listened to it a couple of times. You know, my girlfriend...
John, where's the tape?
John reaches into his pocket and pulls out a tape.
It's all here?
John nods.
I've been trying to get a hold of you all week. What do I got to do? Call 976 Sanders?
You know what this means. Do you have any idea what this means?
Tom hugs him.
Thanks, pal. Here we go.
He runs onto the ferry. Water froths behind the ferry as it floats in front of mountains silhouetted against an orange sky. Tom is on the phone.
No deal. No deal, Catherine. God, we're going to bury them, all right? Everything is on tape. Yes, everything.
Thursday. Tom and Catherine step onto an escalator going up. She's holding a tape recorder. Meredith and Hiller are behind them, and they stare at Tom and Catherine as the escalator ascends. Meredith and Hiller look at each other solemnly. Soon after, everyone listens as the tape is played. Tom looks at Meredith, who listens stoically and doesn't look at him.
This never happened, all right?
Well, it never used to be this way.
Catherine stops the tape.
We believe in any judicial proceeding, this tape would be inadmissible.
Inadmissible? I'm worried I'm going to drive to work and hear it on Howard Stern.
Is she threatening to release this tape?
Look, I don't know how many copies of this tape are floating around. I didn't put it out there. I hate publicity.
Young lady, the only thing this tape demonstrates is consensual sex between two adults. However it may have appeared the morning after. Mr. Sanders' regret is not my client's harassment.
Miss Johnson, is that your position today?
Yes, it is.
Miss Alvarez?
Ms. Johnson, just so I'm clear on what today's story is, would you define for me consensual sex?
Sex where both parties are willing participants.
How many times do we hear Mr. Sanders say no on that tape?
I don't know.
Doesn't no mean no?
Sometimes no means that person wants to be overwhelmed, dominated. But we can't talk about that. The way we're supposed to have sex nowadays, we'd need the UN to supervise it.
No means no. Isn't that what we tell women? Do men deserve less?
Well, when he really wanted to stop, he didn't seem to have any problems doing it, did he?
And that's when you got angry.
Of course I got angry. So would anyone.
Don't we tell women that they can stop at any point?
Haven't you ever said no and meant yes, Mrs. Alvarez?
Up until the moment of actual penetration...
The point is, he was willing. That tape doesn't change anything.
The point is, you control the meeting. You set the time. You order the wine. You lock the door. You demanded service, and then you got angry when he didn't provide it. So you decided to get even, to get rid of him with this trumped-up charge. Ms. Johnson, the only thing you have proven is that a woman in power can be every bit as abusive as a man.
You want to put me on trial here? Let's at least be honest about what it's for. I am a sexually aggressive woman. I like it. Tom knew it, and you can't handle it. It is the same damn thing since the beginning of time. Veil it, hide it, lock it up, and throw away the key. We expect a woman to do a man's job, make a man's money, and then walk around with a parasol and lie down for a man like it was still 100 years ago. Well, no thank you.
Heller and the judge stare at Meredith. Later, Tom is near the escalators.
Well, you are not going to believe this. I personally think it was the Howard Stern thing that got to them.
What did Phil say?
Phil said that you get your job back, you get $100,000 in pain and suffering, and I get fees and expenses.
And Meredith?
She stays through the merger next week, and then they make an announcement that she has to leave for some medical, whatever, emergency. She's out. This is total and complete vindication. Yes!
Yes! Boom! Yes! Oh, man.
Woo! Meredith is with Phil.
You know, I almost feel sorry for him. He has no idea, does he?
A night view of the city shows several windows lit up in otherwise dark buildings. At Digicom, Catherine's reading a contract.
If it's okay, I'd like to read this over again before we sign. Not that I don't trust you, Phil.
Just as long as it's done by midnight tonight. Garvin wants this off his screen. Tom, we want you to make a little presentation on Arcomax at the merger announcement tomorrow morning at 9. Nothing technical, 3 or 4 minutes, in and out.
Fine, no problem.
Great. Now I gotta go upstairs and break it to her. It won't be easy.
Really? I thought you enjoyed that kind of thing, Phil.
You go after one of our people. We're gonna put the wagons in a circle. Once you made your case, the company has behaved strictly appropriately. Wouldn't you say so, Catherine?
You don't want to know what I think, Phil.
It's terrible. The way a thing like this can tear a company apart. I've told Bob we really need to take a look at it. Hey, friends.
Tom looks at Phil.
What?
I hope you still think of me as a friend.
Good night, Phil.
Phil smiles, points at Tom, and leaves.
Why don't you sign it now and I'll read it over in the cab? Where will you be if I need you?
Well, I'll be here for a while getting that presentation together.
Okay, if not, I'll have somebody run this by your house later.
Catherine gathers her paperwork and follows Tom out of a conference room.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Why do you think Meredith did this?
What?
I mean, you've seen her in action. She's cool, she's smart, she's always in control. How could she have lost control like this?
I don't know. You're attractive, maybe. But you are not irresistible.
Come on, I'm serious, all right? She's here one day, there's a merger going on. Conley people are a little touchy.
Well, I'm sure she thought you'd go along with it.
No, there's more to it than
that. Oh, no, come on, Sanders. You think way too much. What you need to do is you need to go home. You need to open a nice bottle of champagne, make up with your wife, and get some sleep. It's over.
They shake hands.
Thank you, Catherine.
Absolutely, you're welcome. Now have a good night.
Good night.
Catherine leaves and Tom walks to his desk. He opens an email that reads, "It's not over. Nothing is what it seems. Solve the problem. A friend." Catherine passes his office on her way out and Tom starts to call her, but stops. Later, he's walking down the stairs with his knapsack.
Hi, Stephanie.
Must be difficult, so much going on and nobody giving you information.
It's been a crazy week.
I remember I had a friend. She was one of the first women to move really high up. You know what it's like at the higher levels, every day putting out fires. But it turned out the job wasn't anything she thought it was. And she was looking the wrong way when they fired her.
Interesting.
Truth usually is, once you get to it.
She walks away and Tom continues slowly down the stairs. Still carrying his knapsack, Tom walks into a dark office at Digicom. He turns on a light and looks at the Arcomax drives wrapped in plastic. A workbook with notes and formulas written in it is next to an unwrapped drive. A notation in the workbook reads, PPU-7. A hypodermic needle has punctured the plastic on one of them. Tom looks at the notes, then at a computer with the Digicom logo on the screen. Later, he's walking through the quiet building. He starts up a set of stairs, but stops. Through a glass door, he sees Meredith working out on a stair-stepping machine while talking to Phil. Tom steps closer.
What if Sanders doesn't bring it up?
He will. He will. I just talked to him about his presentation on Arcomax. He has no idea.
So when he brings up the line.
Exactly. And you gotta pounce, because we don't have the harassment. It's gotta be that Sanders is incompetent.
We'll be in public with reporters.
Bob's counting on you.
Well, we gotta clean out the database just in case.
And any backup.
Tom takes out his cell phone.
Sanders,
Catherine. Catherine, just hold on 1 minute.
He looks to see if Meredith and Phil are still talking, and they are.
What do you want to talk about? Catherine, is my contract gone out already? What does the contract say about firing me? They can fire me for cause, can't they, for incompetence? The problem with the drives is not with the programming, it's not with the design. The problem is with the production line, and that's my responsibility. This whole thing tomorrow, they're setting me up.
At a computer, he types digicom/malaysia.sa+revisions. The screen reads, "Sorry, all privileges revoked." He leans back in his chair and slowly swivels back and forth. Suddenly he stops, gets up, and is running across the street. He slows down and then runs to the door of a hotel. Inside, he climbs a set of stairs and sees Garvin sitting in the lobby with Connolly and others. He stares at the men. Garvin has his back to Tom. He looks around the lobby, then picks up a phone.
Housekeeping, please. Yes, I said, Mr. Connolly, could someone come up and turn down my bed, please? My room number, it's on the phone or somewhere. That's right, okay. Thank you very much.
He watches the man as he hangs up the phone, then walks to the elevators.
When did your dad arrive?
Midnight. They had to stop in Houston.
Not for him to get a chance to see the coroner.
You know, I stayed up late last night. Fooling around with it, up in my room. It's really incredible.
Tom walks through the open door of a hotel room. A housekeeping card is sitting outside the room. He pretends to startle when he sees the maid.
I'm sorry, sir.
No. Yeah, here, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Have a nice night. Evening.
Thank you. A maid leaves and shuts the door. Tom walks into the dark hotel suite. He walks through a living room and into another room. He goes to a computer. He punches in a password as a guest user, then walks to another keyboard with a small screen. He puts a glove on his right hand. He picks up a headset and hits a button on the keyboard. A blue light glows over him, and a band of light rolls down his body. He puts the headset on. Through the headset, he looks at his own hands. His image appears, and he hits a button that reads, "Start Demo." The image of a corridor with a high arched ceiling appears around him.
You have accessed Digicom's corridor, our prototype for a virtual reality database. Enjoy the demonstration. All information accessed during this demonstration is for entertainment value only and should not be duplicated or fed to another database. If you have any questions, please ask the angel.
Beams of sunlight stream onto the floor of the wide corridor. Tom walks slowly, looking around him as he goes. Looks down, he realizes his toes are hanging over the edge of a steep drop, and he starts to lose his balance. In the hotel suite, he's standing on a small platform as he steadies himself. As he walks under an archway, a room materializes in front of him. Rows of file drawers are labeled Communications and Operations. As he looks at individual drawers, they light up with the names. Operations Seattle, Operations Hong Kong, Operations Singapore. He opens one labeled Operations Malaysia.
Malaysian Operations.
He looks through the drawer with his gloved hand and lightly touches a file. A document rises into the air in front of him. Meanwhile, Meredith enters her office, still wearing her workout clothes. She walks to her desk and turns on a light. She types on her computer keyboard. She types in a password. Screen reads, search Digicom/Malaysia, SA plus revisions. A drawing of a building is shown. Tom is still in the corridor.
Searching Malaysian revisions file.
In the hotel lobby.
Why don't we go up to my suite? Give my colleagues here a chance to try out the corridor.
As the men get up, Garvin drops their bill on the table. They walk to the elevator. In Connolly's suite, Tom is looking at files in the corridor. Documents float in the air in front of him. He uses his gloved hand to move from page to page.
Reduction of air handling capacity from number 7 air handlers to more appropriate and cost-effective number 5. You can't put number 5 handlers in there. They're getting in everything.
A computer-generated image of Meredith appears.
My God, she's in the system.
Meredith is typing at her computer. The screen reads, deleting. The file drawer that Tom is looking in closes. Garvin and the Connolly people are in the elevator. Tom is still in the corridor.
Angel, I need help.
Help is here.
Is there any way to stop these files from being deleted?
I'm sorry you're not level 5.
Meredith types, kill all Malaysia.
Angel, you're supposed to protect the files.
Cell controls are restricted to level 5.
Tom sees the image of Meredith coming closer to him. In her office, her computer screen reads, deleting. The elevator doors open and Connolly and his colleagues step out with Garvin. In the suite, Tom is bathed in blue light.
Show me all the communications with Malaysia.
Telephone or video?
Video.
A screen appears before Tom. The men are walking down the hall. Meredith clicks on a file icon.
Show me the last transmission involving Meredith.
Garvin and Connolly are smiling as they lead the group toward the suite. Tom watches a transmission from Arthur.
It's only a matter of time before Tom figures out about the changes at the plant. He's not stupid, you know.
Tom will be out of the picture by Tuesday, trust me.
I don't like to gamble. I mean, I love Tahoe, but I think that the risk...
Who'll believe him? He's married, he has a family. He'll have no other choice but to take what settlement he's offered and leave.
And then we say Sanders made the changes at the plant? He'll deny that he did.
He won't even know. Remember, he'll be gone by then.
Connolly approaches the door to his suite and slides a key card into a slot in the door. A red light flashes on the key slot. Meredith types, do it, kill all. Tom is using Archimax as Connolly tries his key card again. The red light flashes. On Meredith's computer screen, a red box flashes the word deleting. Tom sees the video transmissions deleting. The word empty emerges. Connolly tries his key card again. A green light flashes and the door opens. They walk into the suite and turn on lamps. Tom notices the light. Connolly points toward the room where the Archimax program is located and the men walk toward it. The platform is empty. Tom left the room from another direction and he quietly steps to the door, watching for them as he walks out. At night, cars drive along a highway that runs beside the bay.
I am totally screwed.
Tom's in a restaurant with Catherine.
I'm going to make my presentation. Meredith's going to ask me questions. She's going to set me up. She'll make me look like I'm totally incompetent.
Are you sure that there's not another system somewhere?
The system has been completely deleted. That's why I'm a sitting duck. You look like one of those people out there walking around like a ghost with a resume.
He takes a sip from a coffee cup and Catherine looks at him. Tom shakes his head. Later, the ferry is filled with cars and its lights are reflected off the water below. Tom is at home.
Hello?
Tom, it's Mohammed Jafar.
Hi, Mom, and how are you?
Look, I don't mean to bug you, Tom, but we're departing Kuala Lumpur on Monday.
No, 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 it's my fault. Susan got the Disneyland tickets for you.
And the e-ticket, right?
You're comp for all the rides, Mohammed, and when you get to the hotel, they'll upgrade you.
Magnificent. I can't wait to tell my wife. You know, she didn't believe you. You know how women are.
Yes, I sure do.
I miss your face, Tom.
Well, talk to Arthur. He sees it enough on the DVL. I'm always...
He leans forward in his chair.
Tom? Hello? Tom, are you there?
Mohammed, you know, on this end, we back up our files on that. Do you guys do the same stuff over there?
I don't know what we have. I'd have to check it out. What do you have in mind?
Well, I got a real problem here. I'm up against the wall on something, and... I need you to do some things for me, Mom.
Well, I hope we have what you need, Tom.
Friday. The Sanders are driving along a tree-lined road. Susan, Tom, Matt, and Eliza are in the SUV. Tom stares forward as Susan drives. She pulls up to the ferry dock and smiles at him. He kisses her and gets out of the car.
Daddy?
Yeah.
I never believed what they said about you.
Tom looks at Susan.
Thank you, honey.
He kisses Eliza.
Come here, big guy.
He kisses Matt and looks at Susan through the open passenger side window. She smiles at him. He walks away. Later, the lion's head in the archway of the Digicom entrance is shown. Tom is walking toward his office and sees Cindy looking at a very long fax.
Fax is from Malaysia?
I can't believe it's still coming out. It started at 7.
On a small stage, a man is setting up a microphone on a table. Garvin is talking with Meredith. A copy of a memo from Meredith rolls off the fax machine. The fax is torn off the machine. Garvin, Meredith, Conley, and Conley's father walk down a set of stairs. Cindy hands Tom some papers. Garvin, Meredith, and the Conleys continue down the stairs. Cindy gives Tom a file. Garvin is still leading the others down the stairs. Phil watches through the glass as Tom and Cindy work together. He turns from them, smiles, and walks away. Meredith is talking with Connolly as they descend the stairs. Tom is looking at some papers.
Yeah, there's a real talent to fishing.
What?
Well, first you gotta choose the right bait, and you have to know when to reel it in.
Tom, about the other day, I didn't mean to suggest...
Yes, you did. I apologize, and thank you.
Cindy smiles.
I accept.
Tom walks past her. She pats him on the behind with a folder, and he turns and smiles. Later.
Which brings us to our advanced products group. Tom Sanders heads our manufacturing department. Tom, I wonder if you can come up here and review for us the revolutionary new product we call Arcamax.
Tom steps onto the stage. The room is filled with people. Stephanie, Don, Lewin, Hunter, and Cindy are in the front row. Tom walks to the microphone.
Thank you, Meredith.
Garvin's sitting next to him.
Arcamax is our own standalone CD-ROM drive player. Now, for a CD-ROM drive to be effective, it has to be portable, but it has to be fast. Arcamax is twice as fast as any CD-ROM drive in the world today. We're in production, we've had our problems, but we are solving them.
And the problems we had, are they design problems?
No, Meredith, there are fabrication problems involving the production line in Malaysia.
What sort of problems?
Well, for example, we should be using automatic chip installers to lock the controller chip on the boards. The Malayans have been doing it by hand, literally jamming the chips in with their thumbs. And the quality of the air in the plant is dirty. We should be using level 7 air handlers. We're using only level 5. And we're ordering our components like hinge rods and clips not from our Singapore supplier, but from someone's a lot cheaper, but also less reliable.
I'm confused here. You set up this line, Tom. You didn't anticipate these problems?
Well, the line was changed. The specifications were altered.
How is that possible? I mean, we all know you to be a highly competent manager.
Well, you should know, Meredith. You ordered the changes.
I don't know where you could have gotten that idea.
Weren't you in Kuala Lumpur last year?
Cindy presses a remote control.
To settle a labor dispute, but that had nothing to do with the line. I've never even seen the line.
A Malaysian news program plays on a screen.
You've never seen the line?
No, I don't know who could have told you such a...
Meredith looks at the screen and sees video of her with Arthur in the Malaysian plant.
You're watching Malaysian Channel 3 right now.
Garvin stiffens, and Phil looks at Meredith.
Perhaps instead of digging up Malaysian video clips, we should discuss the problems sitting right in front of us. The problems in your department with the line that you set up.
All right.
He nods to Cindy, who passes folders out. Tom gives folders to Garvin, Phil, and the Connollys.
The first memo in the file is being handed out to you is signed by Meredith Johnson. And it states that manual labor will be used to install the chips. Now, that made the Malaysian government very happy. It also meant voltage irregularities and memory allocation
problems.
That was
a complex negotiation. The Malay government insisted...
Malaysian government does not own shares of Digicom. All of these people here do. The second memo reduces the air handling capacity in order to cut the costs. And that's why we're getting dirt in the split optics, in the drive arms, the chip joints. The resulting delays will actually increase the costs by more than 70%. The third memo regarding the Singapore supplies is
not mine.
She steps forward.
These problems were created because of your incompetence, not mine. This is exactly the problem with this division. Passing the buck and political backstabbing.
Meredith.
Not through Bob. This so-called evidence of yours, Mr. Sanders, is fooling no one. Now, you can come down here and showboat and protect your little turf and think it means something. But the fact is you were not informed of these decisions because they were over your head. Now, when we talk about this merger, we are talking about a synergy between hardware and software, between cash flow and capital needs. But I guess that's just a language you can't understand.
Well, I don't understand it either. I thought we were buying this company because they could build things. You understand what the heck she's talking about?
Garvin looks at Meredith. Stephanie is watching from her seat.
I just were trying to accurately convey the sentiments of everyone here. That's what I intended to do.
Cameras flash and Meredith glares at Tom as he watches her calmly.
Meredith, could you step outside for a moment, please?
Tom looks at Meredith and mouths the words, bye-bye. She glares at him, then walks to Garvin, who takes her by the arm as they walk out.
Can you build the darn thing or not?
Yes, sir, we can.
Later, Cindy walks into Tom's office.
Tom, they're replacing Meredith. Garvin's making the announcement in 10 minutes.
Tom's putting on a sport coat.
10 minutes.
He steps off an elevator and climbs some stairs. He walks into Meredith's office and sees some files. Meredith is sitting on a couch, leaning her head back. She watches Tom walk toward the files.
I'm surprised you didn't come up here to gloat.
Well, gloating is underrated, but I actually came here to pick up the Archimex files I left.
Some very smart people underrated you, Sanders.
Thank you, Meredith.
Not including myself. I beat you, Sanders. I beat you fair and square. Garvin lost his nerve. He's the one that came up with the brilliant idea about firing you for incompetence. Him and Phil. And I'm the one getting fired.
I've never seen you play the victim before. It's probably the only good quality you have.
I'm only playing the game the way you guys set it up, and I'm being punished for it. It's fine. I've had calls from 10 headhunters with job offers in the last hour.
She steps closer to him.
Don't be surprised if I'm back in 10 years to buy this place.
He nods.
Did it ever occur to you, Meredith, that maybe I set you up?
He smiles and walks away. Her eyes follow his movement as he leaves, and she looks down with a somber stare. Tom steps off an elevator and sees people crowded on a balcony overhead. He walks to Stephanie.
Tom, this is my son Spencer, who
hey,
I told you about.
Spencer, how you doing?
Good.
Your mom told me at the University of Washington.
Yeah.
That's great. Very good.
Garvin walks in.
What a week. The Chinese say, may you live in interesting times. Well, this merger is the most interesting merger I've had since my second marriage. The merger is complete. The question now is, who do we find to run things up here in Seattle? And what I realized during this very interesting week is that I have probably focused too much on breaking the glass ceiling, on finding a woman to run things up here, when what I should have been looking for is the best person to run things up here. Someone whose long service with this company has established a record of creativity, sound judgment, and hands-on expertise. And that person is Stephanie Kaplan.
Tom smiles and looks at Stephanie. She kisses and hugs Spencer. Tom kisses her cheek. Hunter and Cindy are applauding with broad smiles. Stephanie walks to the microphone and Garvin kisses her and they hug.
I tell you something, she's the greatest.
Garvin takes her hand and holds it up in the air.
Thank you, Bob. First, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the department heads, Marianne Hunter and Mark Lewin over there, and Don Cherry, where are you? There's Don Cherry, and particularly Tom Sanders, who epitomizes the drive and inventiveness of this division, its past and its future. I'm counting on you, Tom, to be my right hand.
Tom smiles and mouths the words, thank you. He looks up and waves to the people on the balcony.
We are heading into a new millennium, a new time.
You a chemistry major, Spencer?
Yeah, I am.
I know a chemistry professor up there, Dr. Arthur Friend, a friend. I don't know if he teaches freshmen or not.
I'm his research assistant.
So if Dr. Arthur Friend was out of the country, Nepal, for example, you'd have the keys to his office and the password to his computer.
Spencer smiles and Tom nods.
A wonderful home. We all work so well together, and it's exciting, and it's wonderful to see. Oh, thank you.
Your mother's an extraordinary woman.
You just figured that out?
Tom's in his office. He picks up his knapsack and starts to walk out, but sees the letter E floating on his computer screen. He walks to it and opens an email. It's a note in child's handwriting that reads, Daddy, we miss you, a family. Hearts and a smiley face are drawn on the email. Tom smiles brightly. Narrative script written by Beth Sharp. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Susan Crane, with special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.